Welcome to Tampa Bay FM's Synergy Connection, where life as you currently live it can be transformed into the life you've always dreamed of. Understanding your synergistic connections is the pathway to your emotional, physical, spiritual, and mental wellness. Let's begin connecting the dots. To the Synergy Connection Show. I have as my guest today Kristen Gieselin, who is a work-life coach who focuses on mindfulness. She's also an intuitive who is available for coaching and readings. Additionally, she is a certified theta healer, which means she can shift subconscious patterns of thought, and that might be interesting for an awful lot of people. Welcome, Kristen.
Hi, Lucy. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be on the show today. You know, these kind of opportunities make a really big difference in my life and hopefully in the lives of others. You know, a chance to talk about ideas related to improving our quality of life and really consciously choosing, you know, where we're going with it. Life is short and precious. So I really do appreciate the opportunity to be on the show today.
Well, I'm thrilled to have you here. How does mindfulness, spirituality, and prayer have a role in your own personal life?
Well, really, they've played, I would say, a central role in my life for many years. I was drawn at an early age to esoteric interests, I would say, as a child. There were people around me that were interested in, you know, astrology and numerology and things like that. And my mother was an open-minded person who took me to yoga class as a kid and to learn transcendental meditation. And, you know, it was challenging. She was a single mom. She raised me, you know, pretty much on her own. And there were some other challenges in our family, but I kind of early on saw the value. Maybe I was noticing how I felt when I went to the yoga class or when I did the TM, and I thought, this feels good. And so I pursued more and more, you know, opportunities to learn about spirituality, you know, as I went down the path. And I practice Vajrayana style Buddhism, which is practiced in originally Nepal, Tibet, Bhutan. The Dalai Lama is a Tibetan Buddhist, probably the one that's most, you know, widely recognized. And I've done that for many years. And the meditation techniques that I've learned are very transformative. You know, now, of course, with the science to accommodate what goes on with brain activity during meditation. You know, we know that when we do visualizations and we spend time in meditation, it changes our whole biochemistry, and it really is a workout for the better functioning of our brains and, you know, changes our whole, our whole biochemistry, you know, our breath and everything.
Right. One of the things that I was made aware of a number of years ago now is that, like with an MRI, if you happen to have one and a doctor is talking to you through the microphone while you're having the MRI, if they're looking at the brain in particular, they can see that it lights up in different areas depending upon the emotion. So if it's a fear-based emotion, you know, it's going to be in one location, and if it's something that is sending you, you know, on a happy thought, then it's going to be someplace else. So certainly we do know that we are energetic beings. I know Dr. Wayne Dyer, you know, always said that we were souls with a body, not a body with a soul. And, you know, I'd like that concept, but I also really like the concept that we are nothing more than an energy field. You know, so we're a soul with an energy field inside of this human body. And when doctors begin to recognize the energy, then they can begin to work with that to heal the body and not just put chemicals in it.
Right, exactly. That makes so much more sense, you know, to work at the subtle energetic level, which, of course, I think some of the alternative health approaches are more connected, you know, to that way of viewing the body, you know, that with the energy as the primary thing, and then all this extra stuff that we have here, the meat suit is, you know, on top of the energy field. But back to that, you know, what role does spirituality play in my life? I was a pretty willful, I'm a smart girl with a lot of energy and pretty willful. And like to try to figure everything else, you know, out for myself. I didn't really listen to my parents all the time or other authority figures. And really, I have to say, through spirituality and practicing spiritual principles, I have tamed the wild part of myself to a healthy place. Instead of being reactive or stressed out over things or feeling like things are, I need to be involved in things that are probably none of my business, I don't need to do that. And I feel that that has come from, you know, many decades of working both directly through the meditative practices and through, you know, following, you know, the guidelines for spiritual living, you know, in terms of how I conduct myself and deal with other people. So for me, I don't think I could have come to a place of compassion. You know, I really feel most of the time I can come from a place of compassion. But if somebody had said, this is how you should do it, or you must do it this way, or this is the rule, that was not going to get me to comply. I could only really come to a better way of being through understanding that it was the kind thing to do, or the caring thing to do, or the sensitive thing to do. That's how I've come to treat people with respect and dignity, not from a place of you have to do it that way, because that just didn't work for me.
Right. And you know, the strange thing is, you know, we're both trained therapists, but how many times have you heard another therapist basically say, this is what you need to do, rather than checking in with the person to see what was going to be best for them? And I found that in my own field, there's probably a handful of therapists who really know how to listen. Most of them listen with a diagnosis in mind, as opposed to really listening to where the person is coming from.
Right, right. And I wouldn't necessarily say I'm a trained therapist, but I've done a lot of counseling, and case management has been a big part of many of the jobs that I've had. But I do feel that I bring a therapeutic presence to what I do and the environments that I come into. And I almost feel like that came with me, that that's just part of who I am. And then I developed it, you know, through different spiritual practices and through the positions, the work that I did, you know, during my life.
Right. Well, last Thursday, you were present after Bart did his radio show with me. That evening, he was at the Rockstar Cafe in Oldsmar, Florida, and he did a group presentation, which was pretty interesting, and you were there for that one. So he is a modern-day shaman that trained with the Peruvian, I believe it was pronounced the Shipibo tribe, and so you're somewhat of a shaman yourself. So how do you see shamanism in your life?
Well, you know, the Tibetan Buddhism, you know, has some shamanistic elements to it. And, you know, it's definitely a body, mind, spirit way of being. Mm-hmm. And I always, from a young age, was looking at how people function in terms of body, mind, spirit. I don't know how that got on my radar screen so fast, you know, at an early age, but it did. It was always there. Even one time as a child, I was in a car, and the adult in the car said, what does everybody want to do when they grow up? And I said, oh, I want to be a psychic psychologist when I grow up. I know, at 8 years old. Well, I'm not really certain where that came from, because my people weren't overly religious or into past life or anything, but that's just what came out of my mouth. So the idea of being able to treat a whole person, you know, rather than that person having to go to maybe four or five different places to get their to get the shift that they need within their own energy field. You know, unfortunately, in modern medicine has got people at the psychiatrist, the counselor, the MD, you know, who knows, another specialist. And sometimes they don't even talk to each other, you know, about what's going on with the person. And
I would say that's true most of the time.
Yeah, a lot of the time. And so that person isn't really getting an integrated type of experience, you know, with their wellness. Now, fortunately, a lot of practices are now starting to form and, you know, have been in existence now for at least a couple decades, where you may have an acupuncturist, an MD. I know there are practices in our area where they even have a full-time intuitive there who is, you know, focuses on health care. So, you know, so things are starting to change in that way. But in terms of the whole idea of the shamanism, takes it even a step further beyond the holistic approach, is to understand something about working with time space. And that not everything, you know, time is something that's a human created thing. And it's not quite as solid as most of us experience it, you know, on a day-to-day basis. Of course, many of us have had experiences where time expands or time contracts and so forth. So, you know, when you step into the realm of the shamanistic, it's you're dealing with more often than just what's going on in this lifetime or just in this time frame. And also, of course, including the energy fields. As a Reiki person, you know, Lucy, you obviously know a lot about how energy works. And that's, you know, where we're getting down to something that's a little more fundamental. We're working with something that's a more basic element that pervades all parts of the being, you know, the mental, physical, and spiritual. The energy field is everywhere. And so you're working with something that is maybe not always recognized, as you mentioned, in traditional, well, Western healthcare.
Right. Well, at least probably in the last maybe 10 years, I think, you know, there possibly is some inroads that are being made into understanding how energy is pervasive in our life. I mean, food has energy. I don't think we think about that all the time as we're preparing it, but, you know, it's there. If we have a dog, a cat, you know, any kind of a pet, the energy exchange that is there between that living being and you is very healing, very therapeutic. And they're using cats and dogs, you know, in nursing homes to help with end-of-life processes that are going on, because it sort of is a reassuring energetic connection. There was a book that I have recommended to a lot of people called Making Rounds with Oscar. And I don't know whether you've ever heard of it or not.
No.
Oscar was a cat, and he lived in a Alzheimer's type facility. So you would walk in on the main floor, and that's where the offices and medical support staff would be. But then the second floor, so you'd have to go up in the elevator, the second floor was for the moderate Alzheimer's patients. And the third floor was kind of that same thing. But the fourth floor would be those that were advanced. And Oscar would go with, he was a black cat, and he would go with the psychiatrist into the elevator and get off on every floor to visit every patient. But energetically, he knew the next patient that was going to die. And so he would hop on that person's bed, and the nurses had all told the psychiatrist, this is exactly what he will do. And within 24 to 48 hours, you know, that person would be deceased. And the psychiatrist was like, no, that's not possible. So he began to observe the charts and the health of the person that he would visit. And sure enough, Oscar was right every single time. So, you know, I think energetically, I tell people to hug trees, you know, to sit down on the ground. There was a man that I trained with many years ago in St. Louis that had us cover ourselves, you know, with leaves and begin to feel that whole energetic connection between us and the earth. So it's everywhere. And if people would begin to listen to their own bodies, you know, I think they would find health as well.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, that's part of the whole idea with the meditation and mindfulness, is that you have an opportunity to tune into yourself. What is going on? And like even right now, we could just take a really quick mindfulness break. And so for you listeners, you know, just feel your feet on the floor or your body in your chair, and just know that you're being supported, that the world around you is supporting you. And maybe take a second and notice your breath. Are you breathing deeply, shallowly? Do you feel tension in your body? Are you relaxed? Do you hear any sounds around you? Nature? Are there nature sounds? Man-made sounds? Are you feeling happy, excited, stressed? We can take a mindfulness check-in moment like this anytime. And the more we do it, the more our internal feedback system is going to let us know what we need. Am I hungry? Am I tired? Do I need to reach out to someone? When we have these times to check in with ourselves, our bodies also often give us information that we don't get if we don't take that time to check in. We might feel tension someplace. We might realize there's a little chronic pain that we've been ignoring. So checking in with ourselves is powerful. If we believe we're connected to all that is, we're also not just connected to our own bodies, but we're also connected to everything else. And so there's information out there that can come to us when we calm our minds down. And, you know, that's where the intuitive comes in,
right.
You know. And I know that you get a lot of intuitive guidance as well as I get a lot of intuitive guidance. But it first takes getting your own busy mind, you know, settled down. The monkey mind has to be settled down a bit before you can really start to listen and discern the difference between your own little chatter and things that are coming in intuitively.
Right, right. And sometimes that's not easy, you know, because it's like, okay, is that my mom talking, my dad talking, you know, a teacher talking, or is it really my own inner guidance?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think it just takes practice. And over time, as you, the more you tune in, the clearer and easier it is to discern that.
So talking about something that is like a health reserve, how do you go about building that, you know, the mind, the body, the spirit, so that your fuel tank is mostly full most of the time? So you're not at a point where you're so depleted that you don't have anything to even give.
Yeah, I think it takes discipline in our culture to do that because most of us are living pretty busy lives. And I think having some regular things that you put on your calendar, just like, you know, it's the same as going to work. You put it on your calendar, it's scheduled on, and it is immutable. Whether that be Tai Chi or Qigong or yoga or running, you know, for your body or a meditation class or a hobby class activity that you enjoy. I find for myself, if I am going to a group activity, I'm less likely to take it off the schedule than if I just am going to, I'll just do this on my own. I know some people are okay. They can just say, okay, here's my yoga time, and they'll do it in the morning or they'll do it at night. I'm more likely to stick to it if I told someone I will be there, then I will be there. So you kind of have to figure out what's going to work best for you. But I kind of just try to keep an eye on all the different elements, the body, mind, spirit elements, and see how each area is doing and pay attention to, am I doing enough, you know, for the different areas? I noticed a little while back, I was starting to feel a little bored because I hadn't been to any conferences or summits or anything like that. So then I said, you know, let me just dig into some more learning. I need to get some learning. My intellect's feeling a little like it's been left aside. So, you know, the checking in is so important because then you know how to fine tune, you know, what you're needing at a particular time to stay engaged and to stay well. You know, and in terms of diet and exercise, the whole and the sleep thing, I try not to be a purist. I just try not to overdo. There's certain foods that I need to stay away from. I avoid those things. And I monitor my weight and activity levels. But you can't do it perfectly. And I even found that when I have tried in the past to be too perfect about it, it just creates more stress. So then you're further behind than ahead. So you gotta realize, you know, a little bit of give and take. If you're doing healthy habits most of the time, mostly healthy habits most of the time, you're doing great.
Yeah, that's very true. I find that people that are too rigid, too strict with themselves are generally a little prickly. a good deal of the time. And so it's like, okay, find that happy medium. And it doesn't mean that, you know, you can never have that decadent dessert, or that you have to exercise every single day, or that you have to do anything, you know, to the nth degree. It's a matter of what feels good to you. And I think, again, if we're listening to our bodies, we kind of figure that out, is this particular food doesn't feel that good, or having too much to drink of maybe, you know, wine or any kind of alcohol, you know, maybe there's a moderation. And most of the people that they talk about that have very, very long lives, that are, you know, in their late 90s, into their hundreds, even George Burns, I think, had a cigar a day. He had a drink of some sort a day, and he lived a very long life. So it's probably finding that combination where you're not at extreme on anything.
Yeah, and I also really feel like doing something for your work that you really enjoy and care about is one of those health builders. That we can't really spend as many hours a day doing something that we don't enjoy as we need to, in terms of, you know, committing to work and supporting ourselves and our families. So that's one of the big ones that can be a real challenge. You know, if you haven't had the opportunities to create that, finding a way to create it, I think, is really big. So there's not such a big gap, a big variance between your work life and your play life, that you'd be doing something in your work day that you would want to do even if you weren't getting paid for it. You might not do it as many hours, but you would still, it would still be something you would care to do.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, they say if you have a job where it feels like play, then you'll never work a day in your life. And, you know, there aren't very many of us that probably get to do that, where you can wake up in the morning and you really want to go do whatever it is you're going to go do. So that's important. If you were working with a client and you were going to be using your theta healing skills, what would that look like if somebody were to call you and say, Kristen, I need your expertise?
Well, we would have a little conversation about what was showing up in their life that they wanted to shift. You know, what did they want to change? What did they want to see, you know, picture out in a different way? And then I'm actually the person that goes into a theta state. That's one of the brain states, you know, alpha, beta, delta, theta. And and we do sort of a little conversation around usually what people think is driving the train subconsciously is not exactly what is driving the train. So in theta healing, we call it digging, to get a little bit deeper, to see what happened, what kind of events or what kind of dynamics were in their life that caused them to form a belief. And then through a combination of, it is an energy related approach. And I describe it as a combination of cognitive behavioral therapy, hypnotism, prayer, and Reiki. Now, officially, the trademark for Theta Healing says it's a meditation technique, but, you know, they had to call it something so that Bayana Stibel could get the trademark for it. But I've had good results with it in my life. I've seen a lot of shifts happen, and I've been exposed to lots of different types of healing modalities. There's so many out there. And this, of course, is not the only, you know, energy-related healing modality that is effective. You know, there's all kinds of, you know, quantum energy techniques that will allow shifts in consciousness, Psyche K, many techniques. But I would advise that you find a connection. If you feel connected to someone, if you trust that person, if you feel safe with that person, then you're having a much better, you know, opportunity to make that shift and have the technique work for you. So, you know, I'm, of course, there's many people out there that are doing, you know, energy healing. In terms of, you know, what I bring to the table, I think, is sort of a total package, because I worked in human services and education for so many years, and because I am a lifelong meditator. And I just have a lot of, you know, life experience. I'm 55, been there, done that, have the t-shirt on a lot of things. Yeah. And, and I feel also that, you know, I came to this life, with a certain amount of something. I don't know what it was, you know, why I was able to be interested and choose, a spiritual walk in my life early. I don't know. I just feel very blessed by that. But I feel that when I asked people recently to describe me for my website, you know, they used words like kind, loving, soft. Somebody else said insightful, intuitive, intelligent, you know, so I feel like some of what I bring to this experience is nothing I had anything to do with. I was just lucky to get that, you know, some of it was, but some of it I feel just came with me.
Mm-hmm. Well, you and I talked a little bit before the show started today about the concept of earth angels, and that's something we might visit after the first of the year, but there are a lot of people that are here right now as earth angel emissaries, if you want to call it that, that are here to help others heal and understand their lives and to maybe walk a different path than they've been walking. And certainly if we look globally at the world at this particular time, it's always been needed. I don't know that it's needed any more now than it was, you know, 100 years ago, but it is something that people are maybe just a tad more aware of, you know, that we are energetic beings, that we have ways that we can help one another heal and heal ourselves. So maybe you're one of those earth angels because the characteristics are very similar.
Well, I certainly wouldn't object to being called that.
No, I think most of us would find that that was maybe a gentle road to walk down. If you were working with a client intuitively, you know, I think that's the same in some ways as the theta healing, but how does your intuition connect with a client?
You know, it seems like it has a lot to do with just setting the intention. Someone presents a question to me or an issue or a challenge or whatever, and I open up to whatever the universe has to give us. And sometimes it's a full medium type of thing where someone might come through from the other side and I feel the presence of a deceased relative. Throughout my life, I seem to just have a question, like a question will come to me or a comment will come to me. And it feels like it's just coming out of the blue, but it's the thing that that person needs to ask. Or the information that person needs to have. And I don't always even know it when it's happening. It starts occurring spontaneously. And they'll be, oh, funny that you said that, blah, 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 blah. And I'll be like, oh, okay, now I understand why I said that. So sometimes it's coming like that. Other times, you know, I'll use tools, you know, divination tools or whatever to get clarity if somebody's looking at yes, no questions or trying to make plans or do business deals or you know, execute a move in their life or choose where they're going to move or those kinds of, you know, here and now types of choices. I can help discern, you know, what's going to most likely be the best outcome. And I don't really believe in future prediction. You know, there's probably a most likely future out there. But I do believe that everyone is responsible for and is creating, you know, their lives.
Choices.
Yes, choices. Exactly. And I can assist people in making, you know, a better choice, you know, than they might make if they were just on their own.
Right.
Help them clear away some of the blind spots.
Many, many years ago when I was had a private practice in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and I had a young lady that came in from the San Francisco area, and I had worked with her a couple of weeks, and one day she walks in and she has big crystals in her left hand and in her right hand, and she sits down opposite me because my offices were always like big living rooms, so people were very, very comfortable. And I'm looking at her wondering, okay, what is that all about? And she proceeds to tell me that her guide wants to talk to me and that she is going to go into a type of theta state and that the guide will speak through her. And I'm thinking at that particular time in my life, you know, we were on 45, 50 minute sessions. And I thought, oh boy, you know, she's going to be off someplace on that silver thread and how am I going to pull her back so that I can see my next person? But it was very, very interesting, and you were talking about how you just intuitively know to ask a question. And that has always been the case for me. It's like I get the information for some reason over my right shoulder, and it comes in very strongly, and it says, ask. And when I would ask, I would get that same response, that, you know, how did you know to ask that, or what made you think to ask that? So those of us that have these skills, I think, are able to get to the core of the matter very quickly, and that helps the person move on. So you're not in a therapy relationship for 16 sessions, but you're in a relationship to help that individual move to a different spot in their life where things are maybe just more effective, a gentler place for them to be.
Right, exactly. And I kind of feel like a lot of times, if somebody wants to shift something big, it could be 3 or 5 sessions with Theta Healing. If they just are having like a little quandary about something, it could be, one intuitive reading is enough and they're clear. So really, I like to try to do what's right for the person based on their situation at that time.
Well, I want you to be able to give everyone who's been listening a way to get in touch with you. So if you can give them a phone number, a website, that would be very helpful.
Okay, great. So my name is Kristen, KRISTIN, Geeslin, G like girl, EE, S like Sam, LIN. My phone number is 727-678-3761. My email is my name, number2@gmail.com. And I also have a Facebook page, my name, Kristen Geeslin, MS. And I will have a website up pretty soon.
I certainly appreciate you coming today. I know we're going to be seeing more of you in 2019. And I want to remember to tell everybody that if you were listening to the show today and you know that there's, maybe some people in your life that need to hear this information, send them to synergyconnectionradio.com. The shows are all archived there. There's also the story notes, and that can kind of give you a little background on what the show is about. So they might want to listen, or not listen, but read the story notes before listening to the show. Also, I have been recommending that everyone consider getting healthy physically in 2019. So on that same website, there is a health blog, and if you go to the health blog and click on it, there are 4 different blogs that you can read. They're very interactive. There are videos attached to them. And if you decide that you maybe are interested in a particular product, if you do order and you use the promo code Lucy, LUCY, you're going to receive $5 off of each product that you order. Additionally, during the month of December, it is all free shipping. So that might be of benefit to some of you. And if you want to call the toll-free number, it's 1-800-861-4609. And there is always somebody there that is very knowledgeable that can answer questions about health concerns. Next week's guest will be Paul Levin, and he's written a great little book called Your Life Sucks No More. And he's going to share the reason he wrote this book and how it might help you in your own personal life. So thank you for joining me today. And be sure to make this your best life. Have a wonderful day, everybody.